About 3/4 of the way down. I'll tell you, I'll give you a little bit of a quick rundown of what we're talking about over here. There's different types of eras, different types of cedar, and then the Gemara talks about how they brought up the corral. Very interesting how the corral was embedded into the seabed, and the usage was that they took a ship and they filled it up with sand. And the sand weighted down the ship until it was still floating, obviously. It didn't sink the ship, but it was, you know, it weighted it down tremendously. They took ropes of flax, they tied the flax to the corral in the seabed, and they tied the other side of the rope, they tied it to the ship. Got it so far? So you have the ship full of sand, makes it very heavy. You have a rope tied to the corral in the seabed in the water, and you have the other side tied to the ship. They went and they started taking the sand and shoving it overboard. By causing the sand, when the sand goes overboard, it creates a boat that will naturally float. So the pressure, the strength of that, was what pulled out the corral out of the seabed, and that's how they extracted it. And the Gemara says it's very valuable. That's how we did it. I was just saying how they were pretty smart back then too. We think we're very advanced with a lot of technology, but they knew what they were doing then. So we're at, let's see. If you see the Tosfos that starts Shita Ternisa, right on the right side of that. Come on, got it? Right over there. Right below that it says here, train Bekaspa. The first word on the line is train Bekaspa. So that's what we said that was the value. Klas Parvasa, there are three ports, Havin, there were three ports. Tarti Be Arimoi, two of them were Arimoim. Bechad Be Parasoi, and one was Persian. The Be Arimoi, Misakin Ksisa, the Be Arimoi, they were the ones that went and they were busy getting the corral out of the seabed. The Be Parasoi, Misakin Marganisa, they extracted from the water, they took pearls out. Not the corral, but rather pearls. Mumikaya Parvasa, in Parvasa Dimashik, Rashi says that it's called Bloshin Mishnah Nomol. It means that they were the kingdom of the ports. Amar Be'echanan. Be'echanan says, Kol Shita V'Shita, every Shita V'Shita, every pine tree, Shenotlu Nochrim Yerushalayim, that the Nochrim, the Goyim, took out of Yerushalayim, also that Kadosh Baruch Hu La'azir Mo, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to return it there. Shenema?
What? When you say Shita?
It's called a pine tree. It means the wood they took, the plants, but the pine tree. So also that Kadosh Baruch Hu La'azir Mo, Shenema Etim Bamidbar Erez Shita, Ve'ein midbar el Yerushalayim. Anytime the word is midbar, is referring to Yerushalayim. Shenemat siyed midbar ha'isa. This is talking about Yerushalayim. Amar Be'echanan. Be'echanan says, Kolay meteira, ve'ein malamda, doima lahadas ba'midbar. Anyone that teaches Torah, that learns Torah, and does not teach it to others, he's considered doimel hadasim. He's considered like a myrtle in the midbar. Which the saying is that the old saying: if you're in the woods and no one is around and a tree falls down, does it make a sound or not? So basically, it could be a hadas, it could be something that smells beautiful, but if you're in the midbar and there's no one around to smell it, then it's valueless. That's what the sheikh is saying. Ikadami, others that say no. He says, no, it means that the other way around. That if you're the only one that's giving over Torah in a place where there's nothing else, it's like a hadas that it's chaviv. It's chaviv to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And Fakir, they say many stories over about how people, when they learned Torah, when no one else in the world was learning, that itself was a tremendous chashivus. It says that the nefesh achaim, the Torah cannot exist at any point in time without Torah being learned. Every second Torah is being learned. And that's one of the reasons, is why we have all the different time zones and everything else, is because even when it's in Kippur, and even when it's Purim, and even when it's this, when everyone can't be learning, but there's somewhere in the world that someone else can be learning Torah. But the world only exists on the Torah. Without the Torah, the world does not exist. Woe to the Oidei Kechavim that they have no takana. What does that mean? To replace the nechoshes that they destroyed, that they took away, Baruch Hashem says, I'm going to bring back gold. The tachas habarzel, in the place of the barzel, the iron of ikesiv, I'm going to give silver. Tachas ha'etzim, and instead of the wood, nechoshes, I'm going to give copper. The tachas avonim, barzel, and in place of the stones, you're going to give iron. Tachas rebekiva, v'chaveirov, in place of rebekiva, chaveirov, mai mevi'in, v'aleim huaymer, v'nikisi damam le'nikisi. There's no kapara for that. The Gemara is saying is that the fact that the goyim killed the Rebbe Akiva, and the Mefarshim explained it's not necessarily Rebbe Akiva only, but it's referring to the Asari Haruge Malchus. Some explain the reason why it says Rebbe Akiva is Rebbe Akiva was the most famous one of all of them, but it's a reference to all the Asari Haruge Malchus that they killed, and they're never gonna ever get a kapara for that. And that's what it's saying is Oy Lohem Avayz Chavim, there's no takana for that. For that they can never repair. Zakte Gemara Baita. Uman Hoye Masin Masus Mibes Balten. So the Mishnah told us that they used to go on top of the mountains, and they used to light torches, and from one place to the other place they'd be able to see they said, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh. So at night, that night, they went on top of the mountain, they lit it, when the next mountain saw it, they lit theirs until everyone got to see it. So the different places were, one of the places was me Beis Balten. My Beis Balten, so what is Beis Balten? The Zu Biram. This is Biram, my Goyla, my Beis is Zu Pumpadisa. This is Pumpadisa. Pumpadisa was, according to Parshas, was the last stop. Again, some of the Mefarshim explained that, like I said, that there were no more mountains. So when there's no more mountains, you can't do your trick of holding it up. People can't see. If you light a fire over here, someone in the next block is not going to see it. It doesn't matter how close you are. So therefore, Pumpadisa stopped. And sometimes just because Eretz Yisrael, once they left Eretz Yisrael, they did this until the end of Eretz Yisrael. And once they hit the end of Eretz Yisrael, they stopped. My kemadura is aish. What does it mean that they lit a madura of aish? Tana kol echad de echad noita la vuka biyada. Each and every person took a torch in his hand, and he went on top of his roof. To the point that basically, if you're picturing when they got to Pumpadisa, in the beginning it was one person. One person took, we explained there was a long pole with a cedar and everything else, and he went on top of the mountain. That was one person. So they went, there were five different stops. After that, the last stop, everybody in Pumpadisa got out of their houses, they all went on top of their house, and they all lit a torch on top of their house. And it looked like the whole Pumpadisa was ablaze. And that was the, and it could be that I think they sent Shluchim as well after that further, but that was the setup. Tanya Hashem Elizabeth Barbara Lazar Oimer Af Harim Vikir Vigeda Vichabuse. These were other stops. The Mishnah had told us, the Mishnah mentioned that it went from Sartova, Sartova, Misartova, Ligrupino, Rupino, Lachabim, and Chabim, Beis Balkan. My Beis Balkan, Loizos, and Misha. So the Mishnah quoted five different places, that five different mountains that they did this thing of lighting the fires. So the Gemara says there's a few more here. Charam Kir Gadol says four more. Kedami Beni Beni Havi Kame. He's not saying over here. Shimon Elazar is not arguing on the Mishnah and saying is that there were others. He's saying is that in between the five stops, there were four more. The Mishnah said five of them, and he's adding four more. Or you can say is no. The mission was talking about in one direction. Yerushalayim was not. It was originally there was the Knesset HaGdolah was the one who was the Mekadesh the Chodesh, and that Yerushalayim was not at the edge of Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying is that the mission is telling us it went one direction, and now the Rosh Hashanah is saying that it went the other direction. So we're covering the second side of Eretz Yisrael. Between each one of the five, there were eight parsois. That there were 32. So if you have five mountains, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in between five mountains, there's only four spaces in between. So each one of those four spaces in between were eight parsois. Mm-hmm. 8 times 4 is 32. So there's a total of 32 parsois between mountain number 1 and mountain number 5. Don't tell me. I know that it takes much, it's much further than 8 parsois each, than 32 parsois to get from the first mountain all the way to the fifth mountain. Why are you saying that it's only 32? The answer is, what happened was is that they closed off the path, and in theory you're correct that the quickest route, if you're able to go directly from one mountain to the other mountain, it would be 8 parsois, and you'd go through the four different places to get from 1 to 5 would be a total of 32. However, because they blocked the routes, you had to go much longer circuitous ways, and therefore ended up being significantly more. But the actual distance from one to the other is 8 parsois. The ksiv, v'chein hin yisach ez derechecha b'sirim, that they closed it off with, Rashi says, koitzim, with thorns. They made it into a twisted path. So that's why we have this 32, and it might seem like it's more than 32, but that's what it is. Zok to Mishnah. Chatzar b'dei l'haizik Yerushalayim. It was a large chatzar in Yerushalayim. U'beis Yazak ha'isan nikras, and it was called Beis Yazak. U'l'sham Kol Eidim Wisconsin, all of the Eidim would come and gather there. U'bezin boikin oisam, and Bezin would check them out. But oisam sham. U'sudas gedolas oisam lahem b'shvil, shiregil and lover. And they made big parties in order that they should come, made large sudas for them to come. B'rishayin elohayu zazim misham kalayayim. Originally they didn't move there the whole day. Why didn't they move there the whole day? Apparently the Tchum was talking about on Shabbos, and they traveled more than the Tchum of 2000, and therefore they're stuck here. Now the halacha is if someone goes out of the Tchum, they have to stay within their boundaries then. So they made a large, it was a big place, they had a place to move within there, but they weren't allowed to move from there. This kind of Rigamila is Mesakin, that they were allowed to move 2,000 Amos from each direction. Which is quite amazing. It's machloikis where Tchumen is the Raisa of Rabbanan. It's amazing that you would say that the Raisa of Tchumen you would be allowed them to do. Why would you allow them to be over the Raisa? So some of the Mefarshim explain, because in reality, the 2,000 Amos he's saying is, being that you did it for a mitzvah, that even with the Raisa, your 2,000 Amos don't start until you get there. So once you get there, and now your job is done, the 10,000 Amos that it took to get, or 20,000 Amos it took to get from his house to Beis Din, that doesn't count against him. That doesn't count in the 2,000 Amos. It's just the 2,000 Amos. Now it starts. Now that he's here, and he accomplished what he needed to, and he did his mitzvah of coming to Mekadesh L'Chodesh, it now starts from here. And not only these people, the ones that are coming to come to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh, even a midwife who comes to help someone give birth, and someone comes to save someone from a fire, min hagayis, from an army, min anor, from an overflowing river, min hamapurlis, from a wall that building a wall that falls down. Elu ka'anshir ir v'yesham apayim l'chol ruach. So if someone comes to do any of these things, he comes to save people, he comes to help people, he doesn't lose his Tchum Shabbos and he starts over. And this is simply a story that people, I remember as a kid I always made this mistake. Why the Hatzalah guy? You have that Hatzalah guy and he goes out on a call and he drives to out of the Tchum, or he drives wherever he's not out of the Tchum. So he takes his car and he drives his car. Is he allowed to take his car now and bring it back? He left shul and he drove 2 miles away. He took care of the emergency, he saved the person, and now, is he allowed to go back home? So I always assume he's allowed to go back home, made a freshman. He's allowed to go back home, why? Because he might need his car for another call. It's really not correct. And that's not the reason why. Moshe is a truth, Moshe says very clearly. The reason is because if you're not going to let the people bring back their cars, no one's going to go do it in the first place. And therefore they were moderate. If you're going to tell a guy, listen, you're going to drive, you're going to go, it's me Friday night, you're going to go save somebody, you're going to drive across town, and then you're stuck. No one's going to go. So because of that, so they should be, in order to save people, therefore they allow them to drive their car back on Shabbos. The Mechal Shabbos is not called Mechal Shabbos, but the Rabbanan said you're allowed to drive your car back so that people will want to do it. So it seems like the Mishnah is really, that's basically learning that from the Mishnah as well over here, that people are going to do all these things, they're saving someone from the fire, they're helping someone give her all these things, it doesn't count against them and they still have the Tchum of 2,000 amps. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah. Chatzar b'dor lahosiv Yerushalayim kol ha'edin eskansin. First Rashi in the Mishnah. B'yoyim ha'Shabbos. We're talking about on the day of Shabbos. Shechaluhu lavaru lahed, because they were machal Shabbos and they came to give witness. Lehayuzazim misham, they didn't leave from there. Lefishayatu chutzatchum. It's a person that leaves his chutzatchum, he's only allowed to stay in the arba amas that he is, or the one, the shutzayachim that he's in. Min hanor, shehu godol pisayim, v'shaytis ne'ir v'esayiladim. It's a danger that the water, if the river banks, if the river is overflowing, it could be a danger to the entire community, and therefore you're allowed to do it. It's interesting how the Mishnah, things don't change here, you know. You get people to come for a Suda Gedolah. They wanted to make sure people are going to be happy, and they made a Suda Gedolah. It's a machlokes in Mefarshim whether it applies only on Shabbos or it applies all the time. They always have this Suda Gedolah, or is it only specifically for Shabbos? Zakti Imar. Come on, please. Beis Yazak is called Beis Yazak. What does that mean? Nan oy Beis Yazak. Was it? There was an ayin. Is it Yazak or Yozak? Tnan Beis Yazak. The word Beis Yazak. Tnan Lishna Ma'al Yehu is a nice lashon. Iksiv vayaskeyu vayaskelehu. That they made a ring around it and they cleared it out, which just says something good was happening. Oydilma, Beis Yazok, Tanan, Lishna the Tsaru. The word Beis Yazok is a Lashon of Tsar. Kedachsev, who Aser Bazikin, that he's bound in chains. So what is it? Are we talking about, is this place that was called Beis Yazok, is it talking about is it playing good or bad? Marbaya, Tashma, Sudis Gedoda, Tayoisin Lahem, Shom, Kadesh, Yeridilim, Lovoy. And they made big suda, so people would want to come to make it good, which sounds like a lashon aliyah. Dilma tati avi avdibu. Perhaps it was called both, because there was something good about it and there's something bad about it. There was something good about it to the extent that they got a suda gedayla, but there was something bad about it that they were stuck there and they couldn't leave. So you had the good and the bad, and therefore it was really both lashonos were used. Which, according to the way, if you learn that, it's a little bit shver to say that it applied also not on Shabbos, because it was only on Shabbos that you were stuck there during the week. Then what would be the tzar of being there on Shabbos? I'm sorry, during the week there's no tzar. Zot the Gemara, Zot the Mishnah. Ketzad boitkin es Eidim. How did they check the Eidim? Two Eidim come and say, we saw the moon. So they have to check him. Rishi v'chakir, they got to ask some questions. So they have Zuk Shabbat, Kaitse Baikin as Aidim. Zuk Shabbat, Rishin Baikin, I say, Rishin Machnisin as Abadal Shubahan. So they have a pair of Aidim that come in, but they ask each one separately. You're not going to ask them at the same time, because then they're obviously not going to contradict each other. The question is, are they going to contradict each other? They say to him, tell me, Kaitse Rishas Alavana. How do you see the Levana? Lefne Hachama or Lachar Hachama? Was it before the sun or after the sun? Was it in the north of the sun or the south of the sun? How high was it? How high in the sky was it? And which way was it facing? And how thick was it? If he says before the chama, he didn't say anything. And they then would ask him questions. in Nimtzer Divrei Mechadnei Edus and Kayemes. If they find that both of their Edus coincide and they both agree with each other, Kayemes. So then it's a good Edim and they have the Ksei Kiddush HaKiddush. Ushaarka Hazubis and all the other Zubis, Shayla Naisan, Rashi Devaram, Lahayush, Sikhamaham, Elahisha Yatu, Pachi Nashir, Vishoshi, Rigilam Lovel. The rest of the people, so they have 100 pairs of witnesses come. The first pair of witnesses, they ask him, they question them, how high did you see it, where did you see it, what was it facing, they ask him, how thick was it, so on and so forth. They both agree? Wonderful. Now they have to ask the rest of the 100 aides and they ask them the questions too, because you don't want to make them feel bad. Because otherwise you're going to say, listen, I went, I slept all the way there, made myself crazy, and you see, it was worthless, it was a waste of my time. They're going to be distraught. Packing up, which means he's going to feel bad, he's going to be dejected, you know, what a waste of time for. And they wanted to incentivize people to continue to come, and therefore, they asked them the question just to make them feel good. It's amazing that they were in the sack that they went, Bezen Hagodol, sat there to ask so many people questions just to make sure that they're going to come back again. It's an unbelievable Abeinu Bachi. Unbelievable. Rabbeinu Bachya says that he quotes Rabbeinu Chanan, and he says that the whole din of Edom coming to Bezin to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh was not necessary. There was one point in it. The whole purpose was for the Tzdukim. Because the Tzdukim claimed, he says that Bezin had, Moshe Rabbeinu had a calendar, he had a Seder Ibru, he knew exactly which months were going to be Ibru Chodesh and which ones were not. He had the whole calendar. There was no need for this. They had still the Mekadosh L'Chodesh. There's still a din of Bezin and Mekadosh L'Chodesh. But there's Mekadosh down here, there's Mekadosh up in Shemayim, there's still a din of that. But in terms of the Eden coming to Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and Ben Abachi quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Rav Sadia Goin says the same thing. There are only two shitas that I found ever said such a thing. Every other Mefarish out there doesn't understand what in the world they're talking about, because we're learning here all these Mishnahs, we're learning all these Gemaras, and it seems very important and very integral to the whole system of being Mekadosh L'Chodesh, these Eidim. We're willing to be Mechal Shabbos, we're willing to do all these extra things for them. You're going to tell me it wasn't even necessary, it's unbelievable. One of the riots that he brings, many years ago somebody asked me this question, I want to know, in the Midbar, for 40 years, Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. On top of them, in the Zechus of Aaron HaKohen, and after Aaron HaKohen died, in the Zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu, they had a Nani HaKohen. It was a cloud. They couldn't see through the cloud. How would they make Kaddish the Chodesh?
I mean, the water was under the cloud.
It was not. Why would it be under the cloud? The clouds in the lawn is higher than the clouds. Whenever you have clouds going by, if you look at in the sky and you look, it's when they will be more than talk about later. If you see the moon through the clouds, the moon is higher than the clouds. That's a fact. So therefore, the Nani HaKavod Pashtas blocked it. It would seem that the Nani HaKavod blocked it. They didn't have sun and they didn't have a Levana. The Nani HaKavod provided the light. The Nani HaKavod provided protection. It says the Nani HaKavod somehow washed their clothing. They always had fresh clothing. I don't know how that worked. But Kitzamai said they did not see the Levana. So how are they in the Kaddish L'Chodesh? No Eden could come. Rabbeinu Chananel brings the Raya from there that they didn't need it. There were no Tzdukim in those days. There was no din. There was no people. People were not coming to the Kaddish L'Chodesh. There was no need for it. There was no necessity. The people came. Every month came. Rabbeinu took out the calendar and said, oh, today, everyone, Kiddush HaChodesh. So, it's just a very interesting shot with everything that we're learning here. Again, all the other Mefarshim have numerous kashas on it. The Rambam certainly doesn't agree with it, and most of the other Rishonim and Achronim don't seem to agree with it. But it's just a very interesting shot that someone that, again, this is Rabbeinu Bachya, Kohen Rabbeinu Chananel, this is not, it's very strong sources. Before we go to the Gemara, so we have the sun always starts off in the east and sets in the west. But even when it sets in the west, it doesn't have to go, it doesn't necessarily go in a perfect half semicircle. It doesn't go in a perfect semicircle. It sometimes can go to the south or it can go to the north. And sometimes it ends up, and if it starts in one place, it can start off at the equator, let's say in the middle, on the eastern side. When it gets to the western side, it can end up in the north of the equator or the south of the equator. Just keep that in mind, a little bit technical stuff. Third thing, Mara. Hainu lefnei hachama. Hainu letzvayna. He said that if it's before the sun, that is the Tzvayna, that is the north. We asked him two questions. We asked more than two questions, but two of the questions we asked is, was it Lefnei HaChama or Achar HaChama? And the second question was, Letzvayna or Ledroima? So the Gemara says, but that's the same question. If it was Lefnei HaChama, that means it was in the north. And if it was after the sun, then it means it was in the south. So Amar Abaya, Pegimasa Lefnei HaChama, is talking about the Pegima, the Pegam, which means the indentation, the inside of the moon, was facing the Chama, or the Achar HaChama, or was it facing away from the sun? And Amar Lefnei HaChama, Lo Yomar Klum. And if he says that it was, that the indentation was facing the sun, Lo Yomar Klum, which means that right away we know that his Eidus is worthless and we throw him out of Bezdin. The Amar Abaycha, in my Dechsev, if a ruler and his fear is oisa shalom b'mayimav, what does that mean? So may oylam la'iras achal pigimasa shal levana, v'lay pigimasa shal kashas. Never ever did the chama, did the sun see the pigima, the cavity, the inside, the indentation of the levana, and not the indentation of the bowl, the rainbow. Why not? Pigimasa shal levana v'chal shadaita. It's amazing that Mara talked about this, but he didn't want to make the moon feel bad. He didn't want the sun shouldn't see that the Levana has a pegam, that it's not full, because the sun was the one that's always full. So it's not fair to the Levana that the Levana should see that the sun should see that the Levana is not always full. Because we didn't want it to be that it's going to look like if you have the sun, you have the bow and arrow, the rainbow, it looks like it's shooting a bow and arrow, and the goyim would say, people would say that it looks like kaviyachol, the sun is shooting bow and arrows to those who don't believe in it, and therefore we would never do that. How high in the sky was it, and which way was it facing? It could be facing upwards, it can be or facing downwards. Mm-hmm. If you say it's facing north, then it's kayamin. Mm-hmm. If you say it's facing south, then it's nothing. And so, but there's a debraisa says that pumfaket. If he says that if it's facing south, his words are kayam, which means that's a fact, we know that to be true. But if not, if it's facing north, then it's not. So what's going on over here? Loikasha, kan bi moisa chama. Over here we're talking about during the sun, and kan bi moisa shaman, during the summer, and kan bi moisa shaman. As I explained before, depending on the summer or the winter, depends on when the sun, when it sets in the west, will end up on the northern part of the equator, the southern part of the equator, and therefore, that's when it refers to. Tanar Abon, Echaleme Gevaya Beis Mardois. If someone says it was two Mardois, two goats high, the Echaleme Gimel, and one other one says three. Edusin kayemes, it's good edus. So the difference between two goats and three goats is not such a great difference. Echalim megimel, echalim mehev. One says three, and one says five. That's too much of a discrepancy. The edusin betel. Now, there's obviously no one's measuring themselves. They didn't take out a tape measure and measure how high it is from here to the moon. So therefore, it's not a question if they're somewhat off. But if they're way off, that means that we say that the edusin betel. I'm going to start from the edus echers, but these people could stay here. Because, and each one of these humans starved to a different aid. If someone saw it through the water, if someone saw it through clouds, as we discussed before, that the moon is higher than the clouds, and if you saw it through the clouds, you're not allowed to give aid on it. Someone asked the Shaila, what about things through glasses? Nice, I think all the place can hold. If you see it through glasses, it's not a problem. If they want to say glasses, it could be that's not as good. You're not seeing it directly. If you see it halfway through water, or you see it halfway through the clouds, we can't, that's not good enough. You have to see it 100% not through anything. He says that, what is the Gemara telling us? When it says, if you saw it halfway, if you saw it the whole way that way wasn't good, or if you only saw it halfway, you didn't even see it a whole. If you saw it completely through the clouds, so then it's not good. And you should also know, if you only saw half of the Levana through the clouds, it's also no good. Of course not. If you go and you saw the whole thing through the clouds, it wasn't good. If you saw only half of it, it's certainly no good. So what is the Gemara talking about? What is the chiddush over here? Why do you have to continue? If you're seeing half and half, half of it with each one together, you end up seeing a whole thing. You're seeing half of it through the clouds and half of it not through the clouds. But you're seeing a whole thing, of course. That's the chiddush, that it's still no good. You have to see it 100% not through anything else. Someone saw it, and then he didn't see it. Amid in a love. What does that mean? That means is that a person, he didn't pay attention, he was walking outside and he sees the Levana. And then he says, hey, 1 second, I just saw the Levana. And he looks up again, it's not there. So in that case, he can't say this. So he originally saw it without realizing. He saw it by himself without concentrating, and then he realized. Then he says, "Oh, let me go. Oh, I want to be able to run to Bezin to tell them that I had to be give a this that I saw the moon." So there, it's not considered good. My time way Merkuf said the Eva, because perhaps you could say that he saw a crescent of the cloud. And the cloud looked like a moon. If he's concentrating and he looks for it and he says, I know I saw the moon, so we'll believe him. He knows he saw the moon. But in this case, it looks like that he might have seen the cloud. He saw quickly. It means he probably didn't see, he only saw the cloud. He can't get sat on the wall. Said in this week's parasha. We have Shevet Reuven and Shevet Gad. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, we want to stay in Eivar Yadin. We want our property, we want our land in Eivar Yadin. And Moshe gets very upset. Moshe is very, very not happy with that. And Moshe says, Vayemru, Imatzanu Chayim Beinach Yutan Asaras Azot Avadach Alachuz Al Tav Reinus Yadin. That's what they tell Moshe. Your brothers are going to go out to Machama and you're going to stay over here. And Moshe goes on and on. And then they say, they come back after, you have temp circum almost. Yeah, then they say, they come back and they say, you should know. Of course we don't think that we're going to stay, we're not part of Klal Yisrael. We're asking for land over here, but we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to fight the Melchama, we're going to help Klal Yisrael, we're going to help them settle the land, and after they're all settled, and we're all one together, everyone on Klal Yisrael is together, we're all settled, and everything is in place, and everyone, there's peace everywhere, so then we're going to come back here and we're going to get our land. And Moshe Rabbeinu concedes. There's a famous Maisa with the Sasemis. Sasemis was in Yeshiva by his grandfather, by the Chidushi Rim, which was his father, Yon. And one night, he stayed up learning the whole night. And he realized it was already morning time. And instead of dining with the regular minion, he dined with the Vesikim minion. And after the Vesikim minion, he went to sleep. When he woke up a little bit later, he missed Shacharis, he missed the regular minion of Shacharis, because he dined with the Vesikim. The Chiddushim pulled him over, and started yelling at him. And how could you? And what type of chutzpah? And I don't understand. How could you? Well, what does that mean? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You're my grandson. You're an example for the yeshiva. Everyone's going to think, I don't have to come to yeshiva on time. Who cares? Shacharis, who cares? After, he just kept quiet and listened to the whole thing. After, his chavrusa, who learned with him the whole night, said, I heard what was going on. I heard that your grandfather was yelling at you. Why don't you say something to him? Why don't you tell him? You weren't sleeping. You didn't oversleep. You stayed up the whole night. You learned the whole night. And you're down to seek. And you did everything right. Why didn't you say something? Sasana said, and you think I had a chance to get Musar from the Chidushi Harim. I should interrupt? I should say something? What do you think? I got Musar from the Chiddush here. And then somebody said, that's Peshat over here. They could have answered right away. They let Moshe go on. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them Musar. How could you ask? I don't understand. You're part of Klal Yisrael. He should have said, Moshe, chill out. Slow down. We know the Cheshbon. We didn't ever think that we're not going to be part of Klal Yisrael. They said no. They sat there quietly. They had a chance to get most information. I'm sure as all of you know, today, the terrible loss to Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Kavosh Levracha, an opportunity that people who didn't see him, who didn't go to him, they lost the opportunity to be by the Gedolim. The Sasemis, he saw Musar, so maybe we're not on the level of getting Musar maybe from the Gedolim or from other people. But to be around the Gedolim, to feel the Kedusha, it can be palpable to go to these Gedolim. I remember a few years back, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was in Yashem, I was giving a shir. And I went to a shir and I sat there. It's unbelievable. I understood everything that was said over there, but it wasn't the shir of the Gemara. The Gemara, I don't know that it was the deepest shir I ever heard. It was, but the give and take, it was just being there, and the awe of the people sitting there. I saw the Rav Mansi who came, and he came late and just stood there in the back, just to be in such a place. We have to realize what we still have. Unfortunately, we don't have Yosef Shalom Yashiv anymore, but we have to take advantage of these things. I heard about a year ago from a Reisman. He said that every year he goes to Eretz Yisrael in the summer, and every year he goes to Yashar Shiram. He sits up front over there. He said that one of the Gaboyim recognized him as an American rabbi, and they take him up front, and make sure he gets a seat and so on. And he has Talmidim that are there. And he asked one of his Talmidim, they said, "Oh, you're here, Rebbe, what are you doing? Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Yashar Shir." So his Talmud said, "Oh, Yashar Shir? Oh, I never went." He says, "You never went to Yashar Shir? You're in Eretz Yisrael for years now? You never walked into Yashar Shir? What does that mean?" He says, "Listen," he says, "I don't understand Yiddish. Yashar gives the Shir in Yiddish. I don't understand what he's saying, so what am I going to go for?" And Reisman, I told him, "I don't understand. Forget, and of course, if you understand the Torah, of course it's even better. But just to be with the Gedolim, we can learn from them how they act, how they fear themselves, what they do. It's something that it's a terrible loss to Klal Yisrael. And the Ikar is that it says that Miriam, it says when she died, it says Bnei Pashas Chukas, because when a tzaddik dies, it's a kapara to the generation. But the only thing is that it's brought down the Yerushalmi and the Lama Kerry says that the only time that it's a kapara is if we realize, if we internalize what we lost, what we don't have. If we just take it for granted and you say, "Okay, it's another day, huh? He was an old guy, listen, he had to die sometime." It's a terrible thing to feel like that. So when we lose a gadol, it has a tremendous impact on Klal Yisrael. And we have to try to internalize and try to do each one on our own level and think about how we can do something, make ourselves a little bit better, take ourselves to the next level. And Shataka B, that therefore his Misa, it says in one scary place, remember where I saw it, that says that if we don't do anything, then it's our fault that he died. If a person, a tzaddik, dies and we take something out of it and we get better from it, so then Kaviyachol, he died for a purpose and it wasn't for nothing. But if not, it's like we killed him. It's like we didn't. He died for nothing, because if we didn't do a kapar, we didn't get better. Then he died for nothing. Yishtaka have neshama shehav and aliyah and zchus shehav and aliyah. Tomorrow night, giving a chumash here. It's different stuff. Anybody that's interested in coming, you're not going to hear the same stuff.